Just imagine this town or the city of St. John's or any place where you may have visited. Ron, you've been visiting across Canada, so all of those places where it doesn't have pollution. There's no crime of any kind. No traffic lights. No potholes. No constant road construction. Any city on this planet, but I don't think there is any. It's impossible for it to be like that on this world. The Word of God tells us of a city with golden streets, jasper walls, no sneezing, no coughing, no diseases of any sort. There will be perfect bodies with perfect health, and we'll all enjoy each other's company. There'll be no mean spirit there. Sounds like a fantastic place to visit, doesn't it? But how would you like to live forever there? Well, the Apostle John, the beloved disciple, is about to get the grand tour of this city. It's the city on the edge of forever. And so are we. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that you would fill me with your presence. Lord, that they would see your glory and your love through this message in what you are preparing for us. And then, Lord, prepare us to live there. Father, I pray that this word would touch someone's heart today. I'm just a broken vessel, Lord, in need of your hand, the potter's hand. Lord, I ask that you would speak to me as well, Lord, as well as I speak to others. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, with any city or building, we first and foremost need an architect and a builder. And Ron, you know that. We need an architect and a builder. Celine so beautifully read scripture this morning. Thank you very much. Beautiful. Hebrews 11:16 tells us that God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So once again, we see also in John 14:2, Jesus says that he is gone to prepare a place for us. Gone to prepare a place. What love. And I appreciate the offertory music that Bruce played this morning. How deep the Father's love. That he's gone to prepare us a place this morning, today. So we know who the architect and the builder is. It is God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But where is this city being built? What is the location of this awesome city? If we turn to Revelation chapter 21, and verse 2, John 21, verse 2, it says, then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This particular city comes down out of heaven from God. A city which is still under construction in heaven. For each one of us, the city's description is known in Revelation 2 by the name the New Jerusalem. That's the name of the city. The size of the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21, verse 16, indicates that the city is laid out as a square. It is a perfect square. The length is as great as its width and height and length. An angel, we are told, measures the city in verse 16 of chapter 21. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city, that's the angel, with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. 12,000 furlongs is equivalent to 1,500 miles. That is 375 miles on each side. Then he goes on to tell us, as part of the description, the walls. Revelation 21, 17, 18. Then he measured its wall, 140 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The angel measures the wall using a human measurement, and it measured 144 cubits thick. That's 216 feet high, surrounding the city. And it's made of solid jasper. Can we, with our eye of faith this morning, picture that? 216 feet high. Not sure how high this church is. Are you, Ron?
No, around 10 feet.
Around 10 feet. 216 feet high. Surrounding the city with solid jasper, with a radiance and beauty beyond our human comprehension. Think of it, that's about nearly 20 stories high, thereabouts, and of solid jasper. Then we have the gates of this city. It has 12. We have a great high wall with 12 gates. Three on the east, three on the north. I don't have my directions here. Three on the south, and three on the west. And each of those gates is made of a single pearl. Have you ever seen a real pearl? Tiny as it may be. Now, it doesn't tell us how big the pearl is. So I can only imagine how big it is. It's a gate, and each of the 12 gates are made of pearl. My, 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 what a beautiful city. All right, so we looked at the size, the walls, the gates. Let's look at the foundations. We'll turn to Revelation chapter 21, verse 14. And verse 19 and verse 20, it says, now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Verse 19, the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, third chalcedony, fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysopras, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th is an amherst. The city has 12 foundations decorated with every kind of precious stone. stones I haven't even seen. It has 12 full completed foundations. Every color of the rainbow, God's rainbow, not pride's rainbow. It's God's rainbow is represented. So when you're looking at it from a distance, the city looks like it appears to be resting upon a rainbow. All of those colors, think of the rainbow. We only see a portion of those colors in the sky after a rainstorm or rain from caused by the prisms of the clouds and the ions and the sun and everything. So just picture those. And I'm gonna say they're gonna be 100 times brighter than what we see. Each layer a different color. And they're going to have, as we read, the 12 apostles, the names of the 12 apostles on the foundations. Are you homesick yet for heaven? Okay, so we have our size, we have the walls, the gates, the foundations. Let me tell you about the street of that city. 100% plus proof pure gold. Like transparent glass. You know, we don't see pure gold. The Canadian Mint and the U.S. Mint and all the other mints in the world probably have, but I have never seen pure gold. I've seen gold plated. Like 10 karat gold, but that's only plated. It's not pure gold because you'd never afford it. And it's like transparent glass. But yet it's gold. No more potholes. No more street constructions. Perfectly smooth in every way. And I'll talk more about that as I go along, about that city, about the streets. The holy city, the New Jerusalem, its appearance is prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And that will be the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been to many weddings. We see beautiful brides coming down the aisle. And everything in the church is usually decorated with flowers and everything. And the bride is wearing something, a beautiful white flowing dress. And our hair is all done. She looks gorgeous. Well, this holy city, the New Jerusalem, the city on the edge of forever, is 100% better looking. With all its precious stones, gold, and shimmering beauty, we'd be lighted with the glory of God. It is breathtaking, majesty, and purity. There'll be no more night, so no more moon. No more stars. The light of the city will be Jesus Christ himself, and so there is no more sun, S-U-N. There's a few phenomenal features of this majestic city. First of all, we have, in Revelation 2:7, we have the tree of life. This tree bears 12 kinds of fruit, and I would suggest, and I like to think, that it's perhaps going to be some fruit that we have never even tasted or have seen before. And it is in the middle of the city. It brings unending life and youth to all who eat from it. And I can't wait to get a non-bruised banana. Any fruit that's not bruised. Even the leaves of this tree of life contain wonderful sustaining qualities. For the leaves, the Bible tells us, are for the healing of the nations. The tree will yield a new crop of fruit each month. This beautiful city that we're going to be living in for 1,000 years, when Jesus comes back, the trumpet sounds, dead in Christ arise, we who are living and yet remain and believe in Jesus Christ will rise up with them and meet them in the clouds. We will enter into that city. Now, we're not going to be doing nothing, because for 1,000 years, we're going to be learning. I'm sure we'll have every question that ever comes to our mind, we will ask and we will learn. But when the 1,000 years is over, this beautiful city will descend from heaven down to this old planet to become the capital of the earth made new. You know, right now, one thing that Mr. Trump pleases me is that he made Jerusalem the capital city of earth. And it is. It was before, it is now, and will be until Jesus comes again. All the saved will have a home in this city. So I'm not worried about not having the mansion down here. I'd rather prepare and send the Lord things that he can use to build my mansion up there. It will be the earth's capital, but the earth will be made anew, because we're told sin will no longer rise up again. Satan will be forever destroyed, and all his minions and all his sin with it. God tells us that we will walk upon the ashes of the wicked. God has given us many promises in his word for the people who enter his new kingdom. The first one, found in Revelation 21:3. The Lord in person will live with us. He's not going to take us up there and go off to his other world and we'll never see him. No, he's going to live with us. We're going to see, what a joy, we're going to see his face. We're going to see the nail-scarred hands that died for us on Calvary. We're going to see his brow that was pierced, his side that was riven with a sword. He will be with us. Psalm 16:11. We will never become bored. There will be pleasures forever and evermore. Everything we ever wanted and more. 3, his promise. Revelation 21:4. Isaiah 33:24, and Isaiah 65:23, and Revelation 7:16 says there will be no more death, hallelujah, no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more hospitals, no more operations, no more tragedies, no disappointments, no trouble, no hunger or thirst. That's all done, over with, and buried forever. Isaiah 40:31 tells us, as a promise, we will not get tired. I said to Ron this morning, shaking hands, and said, Ron, I feel some stiff like piece 2x4 today. I'm tired. I worked hard all week. It's inventory time. And after driving in the car for about an hour, I get out and I think my legs didn't want to move. But we won't get tired in this beautiful place. No more endless nights of no sleep. We won't need sleep. We won't be sleeping. God doesn't slumber or sleep, and we will not slumber or sleep. Isaiah 35, 5, 6, 5 and 6. Philippians 3, 21. Every one of us will be physically and mentally whole in every way. The deaf will hear. I'm kind of hoping the Lord will come before I actually have to go get the two hearing aids. The deaf will hear. The blind will see. No more of these, folks, for those who wear them. And you know the lame, the paralyzed? They're going to run all over the streets of that holy city. God promised us in Revelation 21 and 8 and 27, Revelation 22, 15, jealousy, fear, hatred, falsehood, envy, impurity, cynicism, filth, worry, and all evil will not exist in that kingdom. We will no longer be burdened with the worries and cares that distract and damage us here. There will be no more anxiety. Hallelujah. Time will be eternal. And the pressures and deadlines that this whole world throws out at us today will be gone forever. Peace, and quiet, and praise. A few ways that the new earth will differ from present day earth in a number of ways. Number one, fast oceans will be gone. Revelation 21. Can you imagine? No Atlantic Ocean. You look out down just down the ways as you're going towards Spaniards Bay. You can look out as you go across the bridge. You see the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean. That's going to be gone. Today, the oceans on our present Earth cover approximately 70% of the whole Earth's surface. But in the new city, when she comes down to this earth, the whole world will be one huge garden of unsurpassed beauty. It'll be interspersed with lakes, rivers, and mountains. And in the city itself, we'll have the river of life, river that flows. Talks about it here in the crystal river. You showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And the tree of life is going to be on. It's going to be there. Deserts will be replaced with gardens. Who likes to garden? How many like to garden? I don't have no green thumb. Everything I touch that's in the plant will die. So I hope my sister's plant didn't die when I watered it while she was away. There'll be no more deserts. It'll be replaced beautiful gardens. We'll all have a green thumb that day. Isaiah told us that in chapter 35, verse 1 to 2. Isaiah 11, 6 to 9, and Isaiah 65 to 25 tells us that every animal will be tame. No creature, wolves, bears, lions, etc., will prey upon others, and the little children will lead them and play with them. I'm looking forward to that day. I love animals. I love pets. I miss my candy. A nice bit, my little pet candy. Another difference will be no more curse. That's the difference between this world and the new one. No more curse, as in Revelation 22:3. Sin's curse, as it's detailed in Genesis 3:17-19, will be no more. Praise the Lord. There'll be no more violence of any kind. Isaiah 60:18. This will include no more crimes, storms, floods, earthquakes, tornadoes, injury, etc. And nothing defiling will be found. Revelation 21:27. No more drunkenness. No more beer taverns. No more pubs. No alcoholic beverages. No brothels. No pornography or any other impurity of any kind in this brand new city. Are you homesick for this city on the edge of forever yet? There will be young children in this kingdom of God. Zechariah 8:5 says, the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets, not worrying about cars coming down, not worrying about someone going to snatch them. And Malachi 4:2 says, you shall go out and grow. They're going to grow up. Isaiah 11:6-8 says, there will be many young children in the holy city, and these young ones will grow up. Ever since the fall of man, ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, we have degenerated a lot in stature, intellect, and vitality. But all this will be restored. I mean, we think back to the early parts in the Old Testament. A lot of those prophets, even Methuselah, he was over 900 years old when he died. Sarah was 120, I believe, when she had her first child. We will be reunited with our loved ones in that holy city. And we shall know just as we also am known. 1 Corinthians 12:12. God's word tells us that those who are saved and resting now in the grave, awaiting the call of the life giver, will be raised first. And those who are saved and still remain living on this earth will be caught up with them together in the clouds to meet our wonderful Savior. God's word also teaches that loved ones in God's new kingdom will know each other, just as people recognize each other on the earth today. And those texts are found in Isaiah 26:19, Jeremiah 31:15-17, 1 Corinthians 15:51-55, and 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. I will know you, Karen. I'll know you are Karen. I'll know Howard and Celine and Stephanie and my sister and my brother, and I'll know Ron and I'll know Justine. I'll know all of you by name. In Philippians 3:20-21, we are told that the Lord Jesus Christ will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. So, ladies, if you pardon me, gentlemen, ladies, as we get older, as you know, we go in menopause, everything sags, it's all going to change. And the men will even look better like they. Not that you don't look better now, but be perfect. The saved will be given bodies like the body of Christ and will be physical people. We'll be physical people. You know, a lot of churches teach that, we're just going to be spirits, you know, floating around up there. No, we're going to be physical people. with flesh and bone forevermore. We're going to have a new heart. The difference is that we'll not be subject to deterioration and death. Now, do you think we're going to be bored when we get there? Well, I think there's going to be lots to do. And I listed a few things here. First of all, number one, we will build our own homes on the new earth. Each person will have a city hall built by Christ, of course, as told us in John 14, 1 to 3. But then we will build our own homes, plant vineyards, eat the fruit from them. So, Ron, I may have to come for instructions. But real people, we will be real people who will do these real things. And we will most certainly, thoroughly enjoy it all. I like to call it my city home and my country home. A lot of people on this earth today have a city home and a country home. But it's nothing compared. I'll learn how to use a hammer to hit the nail instead of my thumb. I'll learn how to do other things. But then I think my mind can't comprehend what God has in store to build our homes. Because what we have is only on the surface down here. What else will we do? Well, we're going to sing and we're going to play heavenly music. Isaiah 35:10, Isaiah 51:11, Psalm 87:8, Revelation 4, verses 2-3. How would you like to sit down next to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the orchestra and play an instrument? How would you like to do that? Oh, I tell you, I don't know about you, but I could go right now. I am homesick for heaven. But yet I know there's a work that has to be done here. But I am so homesick for heaven, a place I haven't even seen, just through the eye of faith. Imagine sitting down next to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, playing a trumpet, and God the Father is leading the orchestra. Do you want to go? And then every Sabbath, we will come before God and worship before him, for his throne. Isaiah 66, 22, 23. Sabbath will be different in heaven than what it is down here. Because, you know, we'll be seeing him face to face. We will be casting our crowns at his feet. Oh, words can't even express it. We'll enjoy flowers and trees that will never fade. Remember the hymn, I am going to a city where the roses never fade. No more fall in heaven on this new earth. Ezekiel 47:12, Isaiah 35 in verses 1 to 2. And we're going to visit with our loved ones. I'm very excited to sit down with Mom and Dad. Very excited. Dad's gone 25 years, Mom has gone 6. And I just want to sit down with them and have a chat. We're going to visit with ancestors. Helen White. Oh, I'm anxious to talk to her too. I'm anxious to talk to all of them. And all the Bible characters. Matthew 8:11, Revelation 7:19-17. Can you imagine sitting down and talking with Moses and Paul? Talk to Moses. Moses, how did you feel when God parted that Red Sea? with the blast of his nostrils. How would you feel sitting down with Paul? Paul, how did you feel when the Lord met you on the road to Damascus and that bright light? We're going to study the animals of paradise, Isaiah 11, 6 to 9, and Isaiah 65 to 25. We're not going to be bored, folks. There's lots to do. And we're going to travel and explore. Now, I don't know what means to travel. The Lord has planned, but I can guarantee you it's better than anything we have here. We are going to travel and explore without ever becoming weary. Isaiah 40, 31. So for any of you who like looking at the universe with its stars and planets, and maybe you have a telescope or binoculars, whatever, you'll have a front row seat all the time. Not to worry. You'll even find out how he made it all. We're going to listen to God sing. We have never heard God sing. But Zephaniah 3:17 tells us we will. We're going to listen to God sing. I cannot imagine how beautiful his voice must be. We will experience our deepest desires, Psalm 37, 3 and 4, Isaiah 65, 24. And the greatest joy of all, we will enjoy the privilege of being like Jesus. We're going to travel with him. And we'll see him face to face. Revelation 14, 4, 22, 4, 21, 3, 1 John 3 and 2. The greatest joy of all is seeing our Savior Redeemer face to face. I'm looking forward to that day I can put my arms around him and say, thank you, Jesus, for Calvary. I look forward to saying, Jesus, I know you didn't have to go to the cross. I know you could have, while you were there, called 10,000 angels and they could have destroyed the whole world and set you free. But I'm so glad and thankful that you did not. This world, folks, is just about finished. There's war and strife on every hand. There's a war looming on the horizon. Don't know when it's going to happen, but I can guarantee you it's coming. Every man for himself on this world today. They do what is right in their eyes. The signs of the times are everywhere. We see this climate change thing now. This young lady, she's been in Canada, and she has been speaking to the people. I don't know what it is, and may God forgive me, but there's something about her I cannot put my finger on. Yes, I'm there. Yes, we should be doing our part. It is God's planet. He created it for us. We should be, you know, not polluting it. But knowing what this is now, this climate stuff, because it includes the Pope's encyclical that came out there a while back, it's being tied to Sunday law. And it's coming. Thank you. It is coming. He has now called all leaders of the world, all political leaders, anyone that has any influence at all, he's calling them over there to discuss all of this. I feel sad for this world. The people that are in it, they don't know that Jesus is coming back. Not alone do they know that Jesus died on the cross for them. Young ones don't know who Jesus is. I spoke to a little girl there a few weeks ago. And I said to her, I said, do you love Jesus? She said, who's that? Are you completely homesick for the New Jerusalem? The city that is on the edge of forever? 1 Corinthians 2:9 indicates that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. I'm not worried about who loves me on this earth. Couldn't care less. What matters is if I love God and God loves me. It is a kingdom being prepared for each of us personally. Each of us. God is seeing to the details personally for each one of us personally. All this glory and splendor can be ours. We can be assured of a place in this great and glorious kingdom. But there's only one way, and works will not get you there. You can go out and you can help your neighbor all you want, but it's not going to get you there. You can know all about Bible prophecy from beginning to end, inside and out. But it won't get you there, because you see, Satan knows that all too. You can be a deacon on the board. You can be a president of the church. You could be vice president. You could be secretary. You could be elder. You could be a deaconess or deacon. I can be here preaching this message. It's still not getting me to heaven. There's only one thing. And it's so simple. So very, very simple. And why people have to take it and make it so complicated, I'll never know. It's so simple. And that's giving your life to Christ and abide in him, so he can cleanse you from sin and the desire of sin, and that you reflect, reveal his character. That's simple. Jesus already paid for our sins on Calvary when he was nailed to the old rugged cross. He rose again, conquering death and the grave, and he's seated at the Father's right hand, waiting for us to accept him. And he really wants us there in this beautiful city, the New Jerusalem. We are on the edge of forever. It's only a few seconds to midnight. We are down in the toenails of Nebuchadnezzar's statue that he saw. This world is almost over. The Father will soon tell his Son Jesus, Son, go get my children. And he will come on clouds of glory with all the heavenly hosts, all the angels, and take us to that New Jerusalem, which is the city on the edge of forever. There'll be no second chance. Once he comes in them clouds, that's it. Probation has closed. After the mark has come in, probation has closed. And at times I think I can feel it closing upon this world. You only get one chance before probation closes. There's not going to be no rapture because there's no such thing. And then people are going to be cut away and other people are going to be left. No. When Jesus comes in those clouds at the last trumpet, it is completely over for everybody. No second chance. The only chance you have is to come to him today before probation closes and reserve your place in the city on the edge of forever. When the city comes down from God out of heaven, Jesus' feet will split the Mount of Olives in two. There's going to be, they say that there's going to be enough room in that city that if everyone who ever lived from the beginning of time be placed in that city, and that's billions of people, there'd still be room left over. The only thing is, the wicked will see the city when she comes down. And they're going to try and take that city, the city of God, but they ain't going to get it. Hallelujah. God will destroy the wicked. They're going to try. They will not succeed. No one will take it from God and God's people. I want to go there. I am not perfect. None of us are. But with Jesus' help, I'll get there. We'll all get there. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.